This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And a good Saturday morning to you. This is the 12th of October, and maybe it's raining where you are. You're lucky. We have chances of that, small chances. But Mary Meyer, good morning to you. Mary Meyer from the U of M is with us answering those lawn and garden questions. Mary, it is so dry.
Oh, Denny, you are exactly right. That's my number one thing on the gardening list today is water, water. Anything new that you planted this year, trees, shrubs, the perennials that are going to be staying in the ground, really need to be watered now.
Oh, boy. I don't know when. Now, I'm looking at the radar, or at least I was a couple of minutes ago, and it looks like some. It's hard to tell that if there's anything hitting the ground. We have a small chance today, a small chance tomorrow, and then as far as I know, as far as the forecast, not until Friday is there a chance of showers. Yeah. And Friday we're going to be back in the 70s.
Oh, so, wow.
About that. Yeah, 70,
the warm September, the fact that it was so warm and we didn't have rain made it even tougher on plants. So that's why it's been we had an amazing spring and summer with more than adequate water and rainfall. And now to see it so dry, it's amazing what a flash drought. That's what the professionals are calling this is a flash drought. And it's amazing how quickly it's happened.
I was doing some work outdoors this past couple days. Yesterday, as I was walking down one side of my house, right in the middle of this little pathway is a lonely dandelion. Looks as healthy as ever. But yeah. All right. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, we already started getting some here a few minutes ago. Call us or text us. Mary would be happy to help you out here this morning at 651-461-9226. Let's check out the first one here. I'm dealing with a relative's river rock garden that I have not been able to maintain for a couple of years. This year, the thistles got 6 feet high. I just spent a fortune to have someone clean it up. Is there anything I can use to treat the rocks to not have so many weeds next summer? Each season brings its own weed crop.
Well, thistle is certainly, Canada thistle, one of our worst weeds to control. It has a huge perennial root system and then 6 feet tall. Oh, my gosh, I wonder if it actually sets seed. And then it does propagate by seed as well as those underground roots. So cleaning it out, of course, is good, but really watching and preventing any new from growing. So glyphosate or Roundup is the chemical that will kill any green tissue that it hits, but it has to have green tissue. Glyphosate is not something you put on the ground when there's nothing there to prevent plants from coming. You have to put it on after the plants are up and growing. So I would say if it's clean now, I would wait and see what happens. Maybe a lot of it has been removed, but glyphosate is probably what I would try. And there's only two plants that I use glyphosate or Roundup on, poison ivy and Canada thistle. Those are two of the most difficult things to control.
Interesting. Texter wants to know, Mary, what is the best time of year to prune black walnut and silver maple trees?
Black walnut and silver maple. Okay, I would do that in the winter time when the plants are dormant, late winter. You know, once they're dormant, you can do it. Now, the silver maple, you'll see a lot of sap run out of that if you do that later in the spring when maple syrup season is coming, because you'll see the sap. That doesn't usually hurt the trees, but I would say the best time is when they're dormant, no leaves on them.
Okay. This listener, Mary, says, I have canna lilies in pots. How do I remove them from the pots and overwinter them. Also, do asters get cut down for the winter? A couple of questions.
You know, you don't really have to take those canna lilies out of the pot. That is a tender bulb-like plant that will not live through the winter outside, especially in a container. But when you bring those inside, if you completely expose their roots to the air, sometimes they dry out totally. So I would leave them in the pot and bring the whole pot indoors if that's possible. And the ideal temperature is around 50 degrees. So 45, 50 degrees for storing of that. The cutting back the aster, you know, we know now that many pollinators live in our wildflowers, many of our perennials, through the winter time. So a lot of the recommendations are not to cut down perennials that are healthy. So unless there's some reason you don't like the look of it or something, I would recommend you leave your aster until the spring to cut it back.
Okay. This listener, by the way, if you wanted to call in your question to Mary, that's fine too, 651-461-9226. This text says this: I planted a royal red maple in August, but the leaves started to dry out at the edges. Still doesn't look good. I water it every day and fertilize it once. I fertilized it once.
Well, watering regularly is a good idea. You want to make sure that you're actually giving it enough water when you water. And if you're watering an inch of rainfall or an inch of water, that can take actually quite a while. There's a great video and procedure on the extension website of how to water a tree. There are two or three different methods, and that gives you some type of an idea of the amount of water you need to be putting on a tree and where you need to be putting the water. So you really can't take the hose and put it on the stem or the trunk of the tree for 5 minutes and say that's it, because many of the roots are further out, 3-4 feet away from the trunk, and that's where you want to put the water. So you need to really spend some time. The best thing is if you can lay the hose down on the ground and put it there and rotate it at 4 different locations around the trunk. Leave it for 10 or 15 minutes at each one of those locations. So then you've really watered it. You don't need to do that every day, but twice a week for new plants is a good recommendation. So the reason the leaves are browning is, yeah, they just can't take up enough water. And you'll see that premature yellowing or senescence, the dying of a lot of plants right now because, well, it is getting to be fall. I mean, should be dying anyway, but they're really dying because they just can't support the leaves they put out when we had all the moisture, and now there's a deficit of rainfall.
We're going to take a quick break, Mary. When we come back, I'm looking at a text, and maybe we can talk about that when we come back. How do I kill buckthorn? Boy, there's some areas around my neighborhood I'd like to do that very thing. Let's talk about that when we come back. It's our Smart Garden Show. You have a question for Mary Meyer from the U of M, call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Still 50 degrees in the Twin Cities from News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Answering those lawn and garden questions this morning, Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Mary, before we broke, texter wanted to know, how do I kill buckthorn? We get that question, as you know, from time to time here. What is your suggestion?
Yes, well, buckthorn is certainly another one of our difficult plants that's so predominant in our area. It's a big shrubby plant. If you're not sure if you've got buckthorn or not, pretty soon you'll be able to tell, because buckthorn holds its leaves late into the year. It's still very, very green now. All of our other shrubs, trees are going to drop their foliage, and buckthorn holds onto it and remains green. So that's one good way to identify it. But if possible, pull it out and remove the roots. That is still the best non-chemical control. Besides removing it, if you have something that's too big to pull out and you have to cut it off, you can chemically treat the stump that's there. And that would be glyphosate, what I talked about before, or triclopyr is the other chemical to use on that. You know, it's, if you've got a big area, goat management, yes, goat, G-O-A-T, the animals, actually can control buckthorn, and there are that's an option for large areas. We saw that in one of Sibley State Park when I was there this summer with my grandkids. We saw the herd of goats come through because they can eat a lot of things and they will eat buckthorn. So if you have a large property, you're going to have to tackle it in portions or use multiple management techniques. But the number one thing for a homeowner is if you can pull out the plant, do that.
Boy, it grows like wildfire.
One thing I forgot to mention, Denny, is we used to talk about the seeds being – the seeds are a problem with buckthorn because you see the seeds and the birds eat them. They are not as viable as long as we thought. It's just a couple of years that they're viable. So if you can remove the plants in your area so they you don't have any seeds, after a couple of years, you won't see the seedling germination. We used to think that was a big problem. It's not as bad from seeding long term.
Well, that's good news.
We've
always heard the opposite. That's good.
Yeah.
Texter says this, I have a lot of crabgrass in my yard. What is the best thing to treat it and to get rid of it? And when do you do that?
You do that early in the spring as it's starting to germinate because crabgrass is an annual. So what you see now is actually it can be kind of brown, yellow, tan right now because it's dying if it isn't already dead. Unfortunately, it's probably shed seed or has seed on the plants that's seeding into your lawn. So it's next year's issue to really control the seeds before they germinate or as they germinate with a pre-emergence chemical control on your lawn. So this time of year, you could remove the plants. You might just be shedding more seed. If you can see some immature plants that the seed hasn't come out yet, you can definitely remove those now.
Okay. I can relate to this one. My lawn resembles shredded wheat. Should I avoid weed and feed? I would think... In fact, I have some lawn winterizer I have yet to put on.
I know this is really difficult. This time of year, this fertilizer is not a limiting factor unless you have a really well-irrigated lawn that's still healthy, green, and growing. I don't have an irrigation system on my lawn, and it's not quite shredded wheat, but it isn't green and growing. So you're right. This fall, I have not put on any fertilizer because there was just no need. The plants were not even growing. I would not, unless you've got a well irrigated, very healthy lawn. Gosh, here we are in October.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think fertilizer is a limiting factor. I think it's water for many of our lawns. So, I'm not going to put on fertilizer this fall. So now next spring, I'm going to have to be more vigilant. And when I do put on a fertilizer, I like to use a slow-release organic one that slowly releases over time. Yeah. But that's a quandary right now.
Really is.
Yeah.
Our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226. You know, Mary, I was thinking with these questions about our lawns, the Extension website there's a great section on lawn care, really. Mm-hmm. Did Julie put that together, did she?
Oh, probably John Trappi.
Oh, John.
With Julie. Yeah, Julie got the calendar going because we have so many questions about timing. And then John, of course, he's been on the air here. He's the turf specialist. And so, yes, I'm sure when he was on the last time, he had that question about fertilization. But, you know, we know that you get to the six-week timing with no water on turf. I mean, that's where we are now. We are at 6 weeks with no rainfall.
Wow.
And dormant plants, that's about the end of the line for them. So it isn't fertilizer they're needing, it's water.
Absolutely. But check it out. There's a lot of great information on that extension.umn.edu. We'll mention that, too,
yes,
before Mary leaves us. Let's grab a phone call this morning. Rick checking in from New Hope this morning, I believe. Rick, good morning. What is your question?
Good morning. My question is, my lawn's not looking like shredded wheat, but I cut it long through the summer, and now I've cut it shorter, but now it's just kind of like laying over. Is that normal? I've never had this happen before.
Yes, Rick, it depends on what kind of grass you have, but some of it, especially the fescues, the low-maintenance fescues, will tend to kind of fall over, have a laying down look. I would say the recommendation for going into the winter is you don't want the grass to be long, which you said now you're cutting it shorter. So you don't really want it to bunch over and lay up with the winter with underneath the snow. So 3 inches, that's kind of a good benchmark for going into the winter. So I would cut it at that length.
Okay. We're going to break momentarily, but let's do this one text. Do you have a suggestion to remove grass from a ground phlox garden? Texter says, I have used grass killer, but it has damaged the phlox.
Yes, that's a difficult thing. The only thing I can tell you is really hand weeding there. You might be able to kind of pull back or turn the phlox over, and underneath you can see those individual grass plants where they're coming up, and then you can pull them out. When you're working on the top, you can't really see where the individual plants are. But yeah, unfortunately, hand weeding is probably the best thing for that.
Very good. Let's take a break for that forecast, see what the rest of the weekend and the rest of the week is going to bring us weather-wise, and then we'll get back to our Smart Garden Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday on CCO, right in the 8 o'clock hour. Welcoming your phone calls or text messages this morning for Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. It may be dry in our yards, but lots going on at the Arboretum, Mary.
Oh, yes, Denny. Fall is such a favorite time. You know, October is one of the biggest visitor numbers at the Arboretum because there are so many maples with a beautiful fall color out there. And the wonderful fall celebration with the pumpkins, squash, the Scarecrow Hill, and it's so much fun to see all the exhibits that are out there. Beautiful place to walk. And, of course, the Apple House with a pumpkin squash, 450 kinds of pumpkins and squash. Almost unbelievable number of different ones, but you can see all the different ones. You can buy squash. And, of course, the Apple House is open with many of the varieties developed at the U, Sweet Tango, First Kiss, Honeycrisp, of course. Lots of chance to try different apples that are out there. Really a fun place to visit. The Apple House is open, no reservations needed, easy to get to just beyond the Arboretum. If you want to visit the actual Arboretum, you do need reservations, but plenty of open space for today and tomorrow to see the Arboretum.
Love the Arboretum, of course, and the Apple House this time of year. You know what else besides looking at and tasting and buying various apples is they have got some other goodies there. You know, I like buying like scone mix or other,
oh, yes.
You know, things like that. They have lots of other goodies besides. So it's
right.
A fun
lots
place.
Of food items, fall
yes.
food items. Yes.
Yes. Mary, a texter says, when is the best time to transplant maple trees?
That would be in the springtime. I actually quit doing some transplanting, moving some plants because of the dry conditions this fall. I mean, you're going to have to really water anything that you plant that's in the ground new this fall. But transplanting for maples, I would do that in the spring. You can do it just before the leaves come out, as soon as the frost is out of the soil.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones, Mary. Diane is checking in from St. Paul this morning. Good morning, Diane. What is your question for Mary?
Good morning. Thanks for your program. I have several Christmas cactuses that I've had outside all summer. I want to bring them inside, and I'd like your advice for should I spray them with something, and what, other than cleaning my pots well on the outside, what should I do in bringing them inside?
Oh, perfect question for today, Diane, because we haven't talked about this, and it's on the minds of many of our listeners because of the upcoming cold temperatures. You don't, as far as spraying them, what I would do, what I do with my plants is I wash them. I give them a shower with water, just regular water, washing them off so that they're nice and clean. Do a good inspection to see if you see any spiders or any other insects that are on there. But if you have no insect problem, you don't need to use anything other than just water. Cleaning them off, cleaning the pots off so that you're not bringing in other insects, that's the best thing to do. And yes, this time of year, most of our houseplants don't like temperatures below 50 degrees, and below 40 degrees is often fatal or really can be chilling injury for them. The
kind
good thing is...
Go ahead, Mary. No, please.
I was just going to say one good thing about Christmas cactuses. The cold temperatures around 50 actually induce the flowers. So that's nice if it can get some cool hours outside. But for growing conditions, they need warmer temperatures.
Kind of related, Mary, the texter is asking about annual flowers that have been in pots over the summer. They want to know, as far as the cleaning, should the pots be cleaned out in the fall, or should you wait until spring to empty the dead plants out of the pots?
You know, it really depends. I kind of do half and half. I cut down a lot of my porch boxes because I don't like looking at the dead plants out my window. So I cut off the tops of those. But others of them, if you don't mind how they look, it really doesn't matter. But anything to do with the soil, I do all of the soil prep and that in the springtime. So you can cut them back if you want to for the appearance, but otherwise the spring.
Okay. Texter wants to know, do you recommend cutting back rhubarb or leave the leaves?
I leave the leaves. Unfortunately, rhubarb had a pretty tough year. A lot of the rhubarb that I've seen this year, there's not much left of it because especially the hotter, dry conditions, it really didn't like this fall. But I would leave, as long as the leaves are there, I would just leave them there. They disintegrate pretty well by the springtime.
Okay. If you want to call in your question or send a text, either way, here's that one number to remember, 651-461-9226. This listener has a spider wart in a pot outside. Do you think it'll overwinter outside in that pot?
Well, spider wort tradescantia is one of our native plants in the prairie. The problem is that when it's in a container, the roots are exposed to much colder conditions than they would be if they're in the ground. So there are not many plants that'll overwinter in a container in Minnesota. You have to be, there has to be a really big container or a really hardy plant. So if you want to keep that plant, I'd put it in the ground and then just make sure that you water it well until the ground freezes.
Okay. Here's listen, I may have joined us a little bit later, but I think it's good to talk about this again, especially since it's so dry. Question is, when do I put winterizer fertilizer down?
Well, now would normally be the time, but excuse me, I would only do that if your lawn is actively growing. If you have green grass, it's actively growing, and you've probably had an irrigation system on, then you can use your normal fall fertilizer. But otherwise, if your lawn is semi-dormant or what, shredded wheat, that's what one listener called it. If your lawn is not actively growing, I would not put the fertilizer on.
Okay. Boy, a lot of text here. What is Mary's opinion of landscape fabric / weed cloth?
I really try to avoid landscape fabric. Now, there's a wide variety of fabrics, but if you can get fabric that the water really does go through, then it's not so bad. But most landscape fabric is put down to eliminate any plant growth above it. So you see it below a lot of rock or gravel, and people are putting in new landscapes, but it is not at all good for plant growth. So I try to avoid landscape fabric as much as possible, unless it's some area where you never want to see a plant and you're not putting in any plants that you expect to grow.
I remember thinking about landscape fabric in a project I was going to be doing this past summer, and I've done a lot of reading about that. But professionals and master gardeners and certain landscapers agree with you. They don't like, unless there are certain circumstances, but generally right. speaking, they don't like it. And they don't like plastic, for
no,
sure.
No, yeah, that's right. That's worse. Yeah.
Yeah. This listener, Mary, said, I've had a bumper crop of tomatoes this year. The plants are huge. I was thinking of leaving them until spring so critters can winter over. Is there any reason not to do that?
Well, usually there's so much disease in tomato plants this time of year that we like to take them out of the garden. You know, I had tomatoes completely defoliate by the summer with the wet conditions, and now they're starting to regrow again. There's more green on them, and they're actually looking better than they did in August. But for the most part, we clean up tomatoes because of the prevalence of disease. So you're more likely to be overwintering disease in those plants than you are helping wildlife. So I would clean them up.
All right. Let's grab a phone call, another one this morning. I think Barb is calling in from Maplewood this morning. Barb, thanks for waiting. What is your question for Mary?
A simple one. When do I prune blue spruce?
Pruning blue spruce, that's best done when the plant is dormant. So I do some pruning on evergreens like that when I'm putting my winter containers together for the winter time, that I will put spruce tips and so on in my pots in the front of my house. So I do that in usually December, getting ready for the holidays. So, but whenever the plant is dormant is a good idea.
Here's a critter question we get generally around this time of year, probably earlier. I'm sure you've answered this question many times. Texture says, but the box elder bugs are on the house. What was it that I need to do to prevent that? Is there something? Because I know they're harmless.
Yeah, they're harmless. That's really hard to prevent them from coming in. And we might see that, listeners might see that now that the temperatures get colder and they're looking for a place to overwinter. So it's really difficult. They can get in any small crack or crevice in your siding, around your doors and windows and so on. It's really exclusion is the only way to keep them out, and that is really difficult. But just making sure that your doors and windows are closed tightly, I think, is a good thing to do. But they are harmless. They're really a nuisance insect, but they are harmless.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's do this. I'm getting a bit of a signal here. We need to take a quick break, and we come back, we'll answer some more questions here in our Smart Garden Show. 651-461-9226. Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering those questions this hour. Next hour, Andy Lindis will be joining us for another edition of our Home Improvement Show. So any home improvement type of questions, keep those in mind, and we'll get you some answers next hour. Here on Newstalk A3O, this is WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show here on CCO Radio. Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering those questions. Mary, we have tons of text messages and callers as well. Let's see how many folks we can help out here. As far as callers go, let's first go to Ed. Ed's calling in from Worthington, Minnesota this morning. Hi, Ed. What's your question this morning?
I have kind of an odd question. I got some demo sheetrock and wondering if I could dissolve it and then put it onto my garden. Would that give me an alkaline type soil, or what would it do for me?
Well, yeah, good question, Ed. Kind of an odd question, right? You know, we know that it's like it's a drop in the ocean with a lot of things changing the pH in soil, because that it takes a lot of material to change the pH. And usually pHs across, let's see, you're in Worthington, that's still, we've got a lot of alkaline soils already in Minnesota. So it's hard to say how it would affect your soil. You know, it sounds like you're going to break that up so you'd have more smaller pieces of it. But if as long as it's on the top of the soil, and not incorporated in, it's really hard to say. You might want to get a soil test right now to determine what the pH is of your soil. But otherwise, you know, it's a non-organic mulch like that, something that's going to be around a long time. I'd think carefully about where I was going to put that to make sure it's where you want it forever and maybe where not where you want plants to grow.
Can, Mary, you still get a soil test from the U of M these days?
Yes. Yes, you can do it. This time of year is not very busy. So this is a good time of year. And if you go to the extension.umn.edu website, put in soil test, it will come up, tell you how to take the soil test, how you can send it into the university. It's about $20 for a soil test, but that tells you the pH, the amount of organic matter, and the nutrient levels that are in your soil. So if you've never had that done, it's a great idea to do it. You'll know where you stand.
One more phone call before we run out of time. Rita calling in from Savage, Minnesota this morning. Thank you for waiting, Rita. What is your question for Mary?
My question is, what's the best way to transplant ferny peonies? I have them dug up already and they're dry. What's the next step?
Okay, Rita, you want to make sure you get those in the ground as soon as possible. So the fern leaf peony is a beautiful peony. That's a larger plant. But you'll want to put them in the ground as soon as possible and water them well. I would be concerned about letting them really dry out above the soil. So planting and watering, it's a good thing to do now, and keep them watered until the ground freezes.
I'm looking at a question, Mary, and I'm thinking, this is just about the middle of October. And this question is, will my tomatoes and melons be okay in the inner city if it dips down into the 30s for a night or two? Middle of October.
Yeah, well, the city, you've got a better chance than out in the suburbs with it not being quite so cold. But boy, it's going to be in the mid-30s. So melons, same thing. I would cover them up if you can. You know, just putting a sheet over them really does help because the ground is warm. And the radiant heat that's in the ground and a sheet on top of that can get them through a couple of nights. But once we start being consistently below 50, especially up in the daytime, it's over for those plants because they really like the heat.
Another lawn question. This one asks, could you go over dormant seeding for setting up lawns for next year? Again, I want to give it a try for a bee lawn next spring.
Yeah, so dormant seeding is you put the seed down and don't expect it to grow until the spring. So you know the growing conditions are cold, or usually it's the cold conditions. So it's usually a November thing for us. You put it down before the under the snow, but it's so cold it's not going to germinate. So it's so dry now, it's not going to germinate for most of us unless you put on supplemental water. So it's a little early to actually do dormant seeding. I would wait until we get closer to the 1st of November. But it can be extremely effective. I've done that before. You want to put down some type of a mulch, if possible, straw or something to hold the soil and the seed so it doesn't wash away or move in the winter.
Got a little over a minute to go. Let's grab one real fast one here. What's the best way to bring in geraniums?
Geraniums. Some people bring in the whole plant and grow that through the winter. So if you have a sunny south window, that can work. Other people do this unbelievably crazy idea of hanging them upside down in a basement. I have only done that to, you know, a very, very weak plant in the springtime comes out of it. Some people bring the plants in and then they take cuttings in the springtime and grow those. But, you know, unless you've got a really sunny window and want to futz around with them all winter, I would say, you know, buy some healthy plants again next spring.
Okay, good idea. Mary, thank you so much. Always fun. Always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Denny. Great to talk about gardening.
We'll talk to you soon, I know. And get to the Arboretum for sure. Make sure reservations. And get to the Apple House.
Yes, do both.
That's right. Yep. Be a great thing to do this weekend and this coming week. Thanks, Mary.
My pleasure, Denny.
Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.